Blog Talk Radio.
We can go as far as we want. You know, we play together, stay together, keep our mind right. Sky's the limit for us. We just got to keep fighting. Got to keep playing together. Got to want it more than the next man, and that's exactly what we're going to continue to do.
Romo lost it for Witten. Williams comes in behind it, and that is a catch. What a reception by Williams, who seemingly came out of nowhere.
I mean, we deserve to make it to the playoffs, and I'm just excited to see what we can do.
Murray, left side, first down. Rushing leader for Dallas.
I just think we're gelling. I think we're playing good situational football, so that's what matters the most. And you know, defense made a lot of big plays for us.
Cutler intercepted, and that will do it. Orlando Scandrick comes away with the football.
You know, that's what Coach Perry, you know, preaches every day. Just continue to finish the fight and focus on the task at hand.
Romo throws one up in the air.
I mean, it's always great to keep continuously build on your confidence, and guys are building on their confidence. We just got to keep this frame of mind, stay focused, stay on the grind, keep doing the same thing we've been doing, don't change nothing.
21 yards for Tony, and there goes Murray inside the 10, juking and faking and scoring.
He's untouched.
He's strong, man. Like I told you, from day one, man.
When you have a great running game in the postseason, that usually provides dividends, so hopefully get big things going.
Romo going deep for Bryant. Touchdown. Three touchdown catches tonight, and they beat Bradley Fletcher again.
No, Romo, man. You know, that man showed his ass and do something. Got to give it to him.
Romo, spin, throw, end zone. Bag of tricks, 43 yards.
Ultimately, when you get in the playoffs, usually you're going against very good football teams. You just got to play good ball. That's how you win.
One last play, and it'll be official. And the Dallas Cowboys are the NFC East champions.
We worked too hard, man. Got an opportunity to do something special. That's what my focus on.
I said it this offseason. I looked in the locker room. It's a lot of talent. You just had to make them believe. I mean, that's love, man. That's what it's all about. We all playing for each other.
But now we've got a chance to take everything we've built, everything we've prepared for. We've got a chance to carry it into the tournament called the playoffs. But we're going to control what we control. We're going to be our best every day. We're going to let the results be what they are.
How we doing, guys?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into the first ever Dallas Cowboys playoff pregame show presented by the Sports Narrative. I am your host, Dustin Copening, joined by the one, the only, Darren Boyd, live in person.
A special event for a special day, Cowboy fans.
All that had to happen was the Cowboys make the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, and we get a live show.
As a long-suffering Dolphin fan whose team has not reached the playoffs since 2008, I'm caught up in the hoopla of this game today, so I decided to grace you with my presence for this special day and special show.
I certainly appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate you tuning in and joining us for this, again, very special edition of the Dallas Cowboys pregame show. I am your host, Dustin Copening, if I didn't say that. I don't know. I'm so caught up in the frenzy. Everything's out the window right now. The Dallas Cowboys now 2 hours and 35 minutes away from kickoff at AT&T Stadium. Just a stone's throw away from here, Mr. Boyd. We can still try and go and scalp some tickets if you want.
I think we're going to have to mortgage your house, get a second mortgage on it, and the party passes for the college championship game.
Yes.
Normally $29.99 are going for $714.
Listen, avoid the party pass. I'm not sure if I've told this story on air before, but I was in the building for the very first Dallas Cowboys regular season game against the New York Giants, Sunday night football. We left at halftime, and my wife is like, are you serious? She's like, do you want to leave? I'm like, we can't. I'm watching game on the TV. I'm paying $12 for a beer. I left the beer there. I wanted to get out of there so bad because it was a close game at the time. I'm like, I can't see anything. I'm not enjoying this. I do it again for the very first game ever because it was real cool, the hubbub leading up to it, and they open the stadium doors and fireworks go off. And if you'll remember, they did a video thing on the scoreboard where they flew the star in, and then they pulled the center of the field was all covered in just regular green, you know, turf, and then they pulled back, and there's the star. And, yeah, it was cool, but, man, that party pass. Otherwise than that, unless you're willing to gnaw someone's leg off to get a view, it's awful.
Yeah, you can't even go to the bathroom. If you finally get posted up in a good position and you have to go to the bathroom, it's all over. 1,000 people take your spot.
Well, what hopefully is not all over here in the next 7 hours or so is the Dallas Cowboys season. And let's get into that season. And we'll actually roll a little bit of I'm just going to roll this in the background because, boy, it's been one heck of a season. 12 wins for the Cowboys. And this song is played now for the 12th time on this show. And coming into the year, Mr. Boyd, I don't recall what your prediction was for this team. Not putting you on the spot because no one on this show, much like no one in the media locally and nationally, had this team picked for more than 8 wins.
I believe I was 6-10, and I just thought the defense was going to wilter, which – statistically, it kind of has, but you just got to enjoy the 12 wins. Who would have thought that? What a special, magical season. Kind of reminds me of when my Dolphins were 1-15, and the next year they flipped it to 11-5, where you just enjoy this, enjoy the run you're on and hope it doesn't come to an end anytime soon.
Was that the Tony Sparano year, the first Tony Sparano year?
Yeah, that was Bill Parcells, Tony Sparano year with the greatness of Chad Pennington at quarterback.
Yes, of course. And then Bill Parcells just mailed it in for the rest of his time there.
Yeah, he was cashing his $4 million a year checks and mailed it in.
Well, he did. You know, he came out. He has the book that came out where he was talking about his time in Dallas and basically said that after the, and you're going to see this, and Cowboys fans, get prepped, you're going to see this video run ad nauseum. Throughout this game, it's going to pop up at least once, Tony Romo fumbling the snap against Seattle. But that was the moment where Parcells said he lost his stomach for the fight because all this work, all this hard effort, you're down to this last moment, and something as stupid as a bobbled field goal snap ends your season. And he didn't want to come back and coach another 16-game season and have it end on something like that because, let's face it, for 31 teams, that's how your season's going to end. Something like that or some sort of, you know, blowout, some mistake is going to end it.
Another butt fumble?
Yeah, we had that last night. We'll get into that as we talk about the games that have already occurred, the game that's going on right now, as the Colts have a 13-7 lead over Cincy. We have a missed extra point or something? I may have missed that.
Two field goals. They've been down inside the red zone and couldn't punch it in.
Even worse for the Colts after they came out and were on a juggernaut drive to start the game. I myself, and I get painted as this Cowboys homer on our show.
You? No.
I know. But
you have a Romo jersey on, a championship hat for 2014 NFC East,
and
Cowboy shoes and sweatpants on.
I just have socks. Those may be Cowboy socks, though.
Well, there's a blue star painted on the sock.
Yeah, okay, there is. But, no, I mean, even, you know, though I've come out the last few years and said, you know, I don't think this team's going to make the playoffs. I have predicted going into the season that we're not going to make the playoffs. Don't make me kick you out of this place already, sir. No, I'm kidding. I think myself, I said, you know, I might see this team at 8 or 9 wins if everything breaks right, but I still thought they'd fall short as they have before because no one predicted they would play football like they had, the style of football that they played that's carried them to 12 wins. And Jerry Jones spoke about that with the media after their 12th win over the Washington Redskins last Sunday.
In a manner of speaking, the season should and is about getting ready for this tournament. And that's where we get the top recognition. I will say that when you win 12 ball games, there's a certain recognition there that these players should take a lot of pride in. I know I do, and I hope our fans, I know our fans do too. But now we've got a chance to take everything we've built, everything we've prepared for, we've got a chance to carry it into the tournament called the playoffs. And our team's as ready to do that as any team, frankly, that I've been associated with. It's got different nuances than some of the teams that Cowboy teams I was with in the early 90s, but still this team has some uniqueness too that could serve us well in the playoffs.
And that's my question. This 12 wins, this unimaginable 12 wins 4 months ago when this thing started, how much credit or how proud should this organization, this fan base be if it ultimately ends this afternoon in a loss in the playoffs? For me, Darren, I've said that this has been phenomenal. It's great. But I feel they've got to win this game because of how they played. If they snuck in like the last few years and they get bounced out, you can say, well, this is a stepping stone. But for me, 12 wins in this season, that stepping stone's already been made.
I think from the Cowboy fans and my friends that are Cowboy fans that I've talked to this week leading up to the game, a lot of trepidation building up to this. They're expecting, like we all have in this show, expecting the bad shoe to fall, so to speak, where the wheels come off. And I don't see it happening. I agree with your assessment, though. If the Cowboys lose this, in a way, it's a epic fail from the almost like a collapse at the end of week 17, which always happens to them against the Redskins. It'd feel like a big punch in the gut. You're at home. You should win this game.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. It's odd because you're in that state of you didn't expect this team to win this many games this year to have this dominant of season. There's part of me, the logical side, that would say be happy with what you have, be happy with where they've gotten. But I point back to the Texas Rangers, a team that plays across the street, back a few years ago in 2011, making the World Series, having a dominant season, and you have the thought of, boy, this thing is going to get here again. And, you know, yeah, we lose this thing in a heartbreaking fashion, but we'll have another chance. And now, 3 years later, you wonder about that team. Are they going to get there? And one of the reasons why I believe those doubts are in our heads and the fans of this team about if they lose today and fearing the worst is what Tony Romo touches upon here, and he's going to touch on it in a positive fashion, the youth, the mix of youth and age with this thing.
Yeah, our team's young. I think we see some older leaders, you know, guys who have been around who are great leaders, but a lot of the young guys are just doing a great job putting their head down and going to play and giving, you know, 100% effort week in and week out. And I think you're seeing, you know, their ability to just, more than anything, just kind of play and let it all go. And sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds, but they've done a great job of just, you know, where are we playing, what time, who's it against? Okay, we'll be there and go as hard as we can. And it's been a great trait for our football team.
So talking about the youth there in the mix of old and young, this team, and people may not realize it, this youngest team in the NFL, the average age of the Dallas Cowboys player on this thing is 25.4. Compared to a few years ago, they were at 26, which kind of bumps them up there on the age. You wouldn't think it's that much. I mean, we're talking about, what, you know, half a year at age, but that makes a bit of, you know, pretty big difference in the NFL. But it's the mix of the fact that the older guys on this team are who stir the drink. It's Tony Romo, 34, two back surgeries. It's Jason Witten that at any point in time, he's taken a pounding. He's been the warrior, and we know what happens eventually in the NFL. When
Father Time is undefeated.
He is. And you even look at some of the younger guys, DeMarco Murray, well, he's been remarkably healthy. He may not be here next year. We all believe Dez Bryant will be here next year, but you never know how those negotiations may go. Something crazy may happen. Maybe he's playing up on the East Coast in New York next year.
And the Cowboys trade up for Amari Cooper, but we'll address draft talk way down the road.
So there may be a little bit of a silver lining if that.
But there's no way that that Mr. Jones, the Monday morning quarterback, executive of the year, by the way, after this year,
yes,
will let his project, Dez Bryant, whom he personally traded up to get, walk. It's not going to happen. He'll be franchised or at least get a mega deal of over $100 million.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you there. It just, as you mentioned, your Cowboys friends, fans who are friends, and I've gone back and forth this week between, you know, confidence and, yeah, you know, they're going to take care of this team. They should too. What if they don't? what if they don't? And it is not a team that is built in such a way that I feel you can have this season go by without a championship. And I'm not saying championship or bust is where my expectations are, but.
But why not?
Well, I don't know. Why not?
You're in the tournament, as Jerry wants to say. Go for broke.
I know.
Consider it a failure if you don't win.
I feel this team has the opportunity to, but I also feel that there are enough holes that I'm not expecting it, and I also see that there's enough put together here on this thing that if one of those little pieces tears away in the off season, they can all fall apart, and you're back to a team that maybe you're thinking, well, they won 8 wins, maybe they can sneak in again. And we've seen with the NFC that reality may be going away.
You may go 7-9 and get in.
Oh yeah, if you play in the NFC South, but. As far as the NFC East is concerned, you know, Chip Kelly, rumors were he was leaving, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, he's consolidated power.
Yeah, that was a good power play by him.
Worked out well for him.
Probably got a bump in pay, too.
But
if only we could do that at our jobs. You know, if I went in and tried that, they'd be like, see ya.
Yeah, probably a little bit different when you have the resume that Chip Kelly has, and there's only a handful of people in the world who have that type of power. Let's put it that way. We'll move on here now, and we'll talk about this matchup. We've got the chalkboard coming up next. Mr. Jeff Bowers, who's not on with us, but will be has joined us via the miracle of audio recording with the chalkboard. He's got two chalkboard segments.
It's a big game when he's got two.
It's a huge game. But, again, I don't want to move on without a piece of awesome generic audio. I heard a bit of this in the intro when Tony Romo was talking about what it takes to compete and win in the playoffs. Maybe a little ironic.
How would he know?
One. But this is some generic audio gold.
Ultimately, when you get in the playoffs, usually you're going against very good football teams. So everyone has strengths and weaknesses. Teams that are in the playoffs usually have more strengths, you know, than weaknesses. So you have to try and find them, and when you do, you've got to take advantage of them. And you just got to play good ball. That's how you win.
Very insightful.
It's amazing.
I have been enlightened by his football wisdom right there.
I'm going to play the Dean game. I'm going to be the bell, and whenever we hit the obvious statement, I'm going to play this back, and we'll fire it off here real quick.
Ultimately, when you get in the playoffs, usually you're going against very good football teams.
Ding.
So everyone has strengths and weaknesses. Teams that are in the playoffs usually have more strengths than weaknesses. You have to try and find them, and when you do, you've got to take advantage of them.
Ding.
You just got to play good ball. That's how you win.
Ding.
Six dings, I believe.
Six obvious statements stacked together. He's a master at that. I mean, he's cut out for coaching, right?
Future Cowboys head coach.
All right. Well, what's in our future now, of course, is that coach's slant and that chalkboard. Let's start breaking down this matchup.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody just stack up. Everybody get back. That's why my pin needs a pad, cause my rhyme's on the red tag. It's like I did with a Dixon. I'm about to beat it. Like a magician. Critics, I turn a beat. Got them still on the fence, whether that's beat. But quick to get in pale when I tell them beat. I'm sick from looking pale. Well, that's my beat. About to go ahead. Start off the beat. Let's bring it back to that vintage slim. Lord, I MC in mixed with the Vinci and MC Rin. And I don't mean Sin Pete Prince. Been public enemy since you fought PE with Sin.
Oh, yes. Little Eminem, Detroit's favorite son, who is a self-proclaimed Cowboys fan, Mr. Darren Boyd.
Well, we must embrace him even more. He is now Dallas's own, the sports narrative's own.
He does that straddle thing, though, where he says that he's a Lions fan, but, of course, the Lions pretty much sucked in the 90s, although they did have Barry Sanders.
Some guy named Barry Sanders.
Decent run there.
Yeah. Don't know who he is.
So, but he became a Cowboys fan. So shout out to you, Mr. Marshall Mathers.
Who is tuned into this show right now.
I'm sure he is. And someone else who is probably tuned into the show as he's at a birthday party for someone's kid. I don't know. So.
The heck would schedule a birthday party on Cowboy Playoff Sunday.
Honestly, seriously, you should question who your friends are if you live in the DFW Metroplex and they're scheduling a birthday party. Well, it's been 5 years. So actually, they probably just didn't know.
Yeah. Never mind. Sorry, Mr. Bowers, friend.
Here's Mr. Bowers with the first session of the chalkboard.
This week, we've divided the chalkboard up into two different sections. One when Detroit has the ball, and the other when the Cowboys do. So we'll start with Detroit on offense. I see three big keys to the game for Detroit. Key one is filling the hole for Larry Warford. They're going to be without their right guard in this game. Now, last week they played, Warford got hurt, and they played without Dominic Raiola. He will be back. I fully expect to see his replacement last week, rookie Travis Swanson out of Arkansas, to fill that spot. But that's going to be a step back for them. It's going to be interesting to see how the Detroit run game is affected and Joik Bell and whether or not he's going to be able to get yardage up the middle without the big road grader Larry Warford out. Key number two, attacking the Dallas zone. We've talked about this for a few weeks, and the matchups that I've thought have really hurt Dallas are the ones where you see a lot of receivers running crossing routes, running through zones, in that zone coverage that the Cowboys like to run. I fully expect to see, them putting Golden Tate, you know, maybe even Eric Ebron, and of course Calvin Johnson in motion, bringing them across the formations, allowing them to catch the ball and run with it. I think that's their best bet. It's going to be imperative on the Dallas defense to make tackles in that situation. And key number three for them, attack Bruce Carter. I think you've got, with Anthony Hitchens out for the game, Bruce Carter's going to be sliding over to the weak side. Granted, he leads your team in interceptions, but that's a place where I would go to see if Bruce Carter can really cover out of the backfield, get Reggie Bush in some space with some swing passes, maybe going a little bit more vertical, maybe some screens. I think that's going to be a very key matchup for the Lions. If they can get Bush in space one-on-one against Bruce Carter or against some of the Cowboys' secondary, he can make a guy miss. He can go a really long way. Meanwhile, for the Cowboys, when they are on defense, their three big keys. Key number one, double Megatron. Obviously, you got torched last year for 329 yards by Megatron. I would double him and take my chances on the other side with Orlando Scandrick, hopefully on Golden Tate. Like I said, Eric Ebron to me could be a key factor in this game as out of the slot, a guy who could stretch the seams for the Cowboys and really test the safeties in their pass coverage. Key number two for the Cowboys, attack the right side of that Detroit offensive line. You've got to get pressure with Tyrone Crawford. Though he has been sick this week, he had an allergic reaction. We'll see how much he's able to go. And George Selvey, who's really come on the last couple of weeks. Maybe you see some Anthony Spencer out there as well. But attack the right side of that offensive line for the Lions. With Warford out, with a right tackle situation that's a little shaky at times, I think that's a place where you can really make some hay and really get pressure in Stafford's face, make him roll a little bit out of the pocket. At that point, his mechanics begin to break down. Key number three, is keep the game in front of you. Don't let guys get behind you. Don't give up big plays. The Cowboys have been fantastic at this all season long and not giving up big plays. They've got to make sure they don't let the Lions get behind them, either, whether it be Reggie Bush out of the backfield getting behind the linebackers, Golden Tate. You've got to be able to keep the game in front of you. Keep running downhill. That's the strength of this defense. It's the strength of the safeties. You know Barry Church is going to want to lay somebody out today. So keep the game in front of you. Don't let them get behind you. Attack the right side of that offensive line and double team Megatron. Let's make somebody else beat you. And I think the Cowboys have a pretty good chance. For the Lions, again, got to be able to run the ball. Hopefully Swanson can fill in for Warford. Attack the Dallas zone and attack Bruce Carter, most importantly. And that is this week's chalkboard for the Lions on offense.
Hey, hey, hey.
Bowers for your chalkboard. And, so, Mr. Boyd, let's take a look at some of those things that Mr. Bowers talked about. One of the issues that the main differences you have between these two teams is that running game, that running attack. The Cowboys right now, and I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more on this on the numbers, but second-ranked team in the NFL in rushing. Detroit at 28. However, they've been running the ball a little bit better lately, and offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi talked about the playoff mentality that the Lions must have if they're going to come away with a victory today at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, I think, the things that Coach Caldwell highlighted is running the ball, run defense. Those things are always have carried you through the postseason. I don't think there's anything different that helps you win a playoff game than helps you win a regular season game. You know, it's just executing, limiting mistakes, and then making the plays when they're there. So, you know, there's certainly a mentality, a mindset that winning teams have that has to carry on into the playoffs. And I don't think, you know, our thing was always like, look, we've had a routine through the whole season that's got us to where we are. You don't change that routine. You know, it's just you keep chopping wood and doing the same things that have helped you be successful before, and you don't change it just because, you know, it's the playoffs or the Super Bowl or a game that's considered bigger. You know, it's still 60 minutes, and, you know, you have to go out and play better than the team you're playing.
So looking at the Lions' rushing numbers, I'm not sure if you've got them pulled up there, you know, week by week there, Mr. Boyd, or not, if you got overall. I've got some here real quick. Yeah, I mean, overall, you look at their rushers here. You got Joik Bell, Reggie Bush, who's been banged up. Joik Bell, neither of them are 1,000-yard running backs, correct?
That is correct. Bell with 860 and Bush with 297. And their third leading rusher, Matthew Stafford at 93 yards. Wow.
Well, the reasons are down there. But then you look at the last four games that they've played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 113 yards on the ground. 80 yards against the Vikings, but then they bump up to 138 versus the Bears, and then they reel off 111 versus the Green Bay Packers. So they have run the ball better of late, but is that the classic dead cat bounce where you've got a team who they're not good at running the ball, but you have a few glimpses of them running the ball, but then today when it matters, they're going to get stuffed at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, Bell and Bush don't scare me as far as the Cowboys' defense goes. The only thing that Bush would scare me about is, if you, like Mr. Bowers said, if you get him out in the slot or get him out in the flat and he can work his magic. But he's been a player in decline for the last couple of years, ever since my Dolphins got rid of him.
And you know, you look at one of the things that Mr. Bowers brought up there was on the injury front, you've got Tyrone Crawford, who had a neck infection or a throat infection. He says it was an allergic reaction. I mean, he basically hasn't practiced this week, but if he doesn't play, that's kind of a big blow to your front. You've got Henry Melton, whose career may be over with the bone bruise to his knee. There's a lot of talk now that he's pretty much decided he wants to stay in Dallas and run a cigar bar that Dale Hansen loves to visit. There's some things there where, okay, yeah, Joik Bell and Reggie Bush may not scare you, but how soft is that Dallas defensive line going to be if you're missing guys like that?
And as we were talking off air, there's already a lot of Band-Aids on this Dallas defensive line, and if you lose a few of those Band-Aids, then the wounds will open up profusely.
Yeah. Hitchens probably isn't going to play. He hasn't practiced. High ankle sprain. And if you wonder if he does play, might I point to you that 2007 playoff game against the Giants in which Terrell Owens went out with the high ankle sprain and was not himself, one of the reasons why the Cowboys had to rely on Patrick Creighton to make some key receptions, which he did not.
Name from the past.
I've
been trying to get the inactives, but I believe since it's a weird 3:40 start, they won't come out till 2:00.
Haven't seen him yet. We'll keep an eye on it. I would expect that Crawford's going to get a chance to go out there and play. You don't have a lot of depth on the linebackers, so Hitchens may go ahead and suit up and give it a go. But I just wouldn't expect much. One of the things, though, that does scare me a lot more than the Lions' rushing attack is that receiving game. And it's not so much Calvin Johnson that Mr. Bowers mentioned on the double team. It is this receiver who Jason Garrett will allude to, and we'll see if you can pick up on who it is with context clues.
Really good football player. And, you know, when we watched him coming out of school, he was such an impact player at Notre Dame. You know, they just found so many different ways to get him the ball. And he was always the guy that made the difference in the game. And I think you saw a lot of that in Seattle when he got opportunities, and you're seeing a ton of that here with Detroit. Obviously, Calvin Johnson's a great player on the other side, makes a huge impact on the game. But, you know, they've gotten the ball to Golden a lot, and he's done a lot of great things with it, particularly after the catch.
Yeah, big context clue there at the very end. He says Golden. There's not too many other NFL players. Is there anyone else in the NFL named Golden? I don't think so.
Can he have a nickname of Shower?
Golden Shower Taint.
Tate.
I'm sorry, God, we can say that.
He doesn't get in the end zone. He's only got 4 touchdowns this year.
But he stretches the field, and he's that guy. You know, you point to the Calvin Johnson 329-yard gain, but I remember the pasty white dude running down the sideline that breaks like the 60-yard bomb that set up the Calvin Johnson reception to the 1-yard line, and that's what I fear is that other guy breaking free and making things happen. For the Lions, and again, you talk about the trash talk and everything. Barry Church, for some reason this week, feels the need to bring up the cheap hit that was on Sean Lee, and I've heard people say, oh, it was a pretty legal hit. No, he was fined for it. It was a cheap hit. Okay, you can say it's a hard football play, but it was an illegal hit that should have been flagged at the time. Regardless, maybe let's not poke the Lion as we're about to face them, the one, you know, with a secondary that's been fairly questionable this year.
With Church having 0 skins on the wall, may not have been the best approach.
I love
give him bulletin board material.
I don't like Golden Tate, but I loved his answer when he said, I don't even know who Barry Church is.
Which, there you go.
I doubt he really doesn't know who Barry Church is, but message sent, Golden.
You know, if he's in a film room, maybe he knows the number of Barry Church, but he
42,
may not know who
42.
Barry Church actually is. It could be legitimate.
I worry about that matchup, and again, I just leave it alone. You know, let it just be. Now, one of the problems that may be facing the Lions and getting Golden Tate involved is the guy who's throwing the ball to him, and Matt Stafford. And it's interesting, you hear all these questions about these quarterbacks in the wild card round so far. Yesterday, it was right now you got Andy Dalton, you got Romo, you got Stafford, and so you hear the bell. Can they elevate their team? Which again, I think is garbage. It's not one guy, but one man who is very intimate with Matt Stafford's ability on the football field is Scott Linehan, the play caller for the Dallas Cowboys, and he talked about that relationship this week at Valley Ranch.
I had 5 great years with him. You know, we drafted number 1 in the draft, and to see him develop over the years. The first year, win 2 games. Second year, win 6. Next year, we win 10 and get in the playoffs. And, you know, just to see the progression of that and see him, you know, in that year be one of the, I don't know, there's an elite group of quarterbacks that have passed 5,000 yards. And end of my time there last year, we're looking at the record book for the franchise. And he basically, all the records you want to own, he owned all of those. And I was very proud to be part of that. But the most impressive part about Matthews is he's really a great person. You know, I've got nothing but respect for him. I root for him every week except for this one. So, you know, for 1 week, we're on other sides of the ball. It'll be fun to go up against him once.
And Stafford, of course, with the local ties here in the Metroplex, he played at, was it South Lake? Or
Highland Park.
Highland Park, which I believe is where the Cowboys practiced this
week.
That
is correct.
They have one of the few indoor facilities that won't collapse under tornado-strength winds. Jerry, spend a little bit more money. Stafford, I'm not sure how fair, again, it is for a guy who's been in the NFL for, I guess, 6 seasons. He's played for Detroit. For him to be scrutinized as such as all of a sudden, you know, he's a guy who, you know, can't get it done. I'd say look at the supporting staff he's had around him.
Well, if you look at Stafford's regular season stats with 4,200 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, quarterback rating 85.7.
It's
Ryan
great.
Tannehill has better numbers than that, and we know my well-documented hatred of Ryan Tannehill on this show. So He's you know, a top two tier quarterback. If you're going to put him in the 10 to 15 range, I can make an argument for that, but he's not an individual that you really get worried about.
And yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, maybe he's not an individual that you get worried about, but is he an individual that can manage a team with a stout defense, which is what Detroit has, into a, not a shootout, but a close game? And maybe there's where the difference comes about. If this thing is in a shootout, can it even get to a shootout with Matt Stafford at quarterback? We had it last year, but these are two totally different teams from last year and that epic collapse in Detroit.
And you look at Detroit's numbers throughout the year, they don't blow people out. They squeak by on occasions, and I will give Stafford credit as he crushed my Dolphins playoff hopes earlier in the year with a last-second beautiful pass to, I forgot, the spare receiver that caught it to crush my Dolphins in a 20-16 come-from-behind win. But they put up 34 points against Chicago and Tampa Bay, but most of their games against elite teams, they've either lost or been nail-biters.
Yeah, and so, again, you know, you don't look for a shootout. You look for those nail-biters, and they've been able to pull off the victories. We'll take a look on the flip side of that here when we go inside the numbers in the next segment. Let's go ahead now and get into the chalkboard when Dallas has the ball. And Mr. Bowers, we'll bring you on one more time.
On part two of the chalkboard, we talk about the Cowboys on offense. The three keys for them in this game: key number one, keep Romo's face clean. The Lions are really good at getting pressure up the middle. Obviously, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, they get a lot of pressure up the middle, and that's a big place where, you know, Romo really does not like getting pressure in his face. A lot of times this season, when you've seen him kind of just take the dive and the pressure's right in his face, that comes from, you know, that comes from that pressure right up the middle. You also may see some blitzes, some A-gap blitzes where they're trying to overload on the center guard matchups. Very, very key there for Martin, Frederick, and especially Ron Leary, who's been a little bit lacking in his pass protection. That's a guy I could definitely see the Lions trying to attack. That's a place where the Cowboys have really got to focus their efforts and make sure that they can keep Romo's face clean. Key number two, don't get cocky / predictable. This is a game where I really feel like the Cowboys have a chance to get out-coached. Mostly because, you know, I love the Lions' defensive coordinator, Austin. I think he's done an amazing job this season with a team that I thought was definitely hindered based on their talent. But he has done a fantastic job here. And I think this is a game where the Cowboys really need to, you know, really pull out all the stops. You can't be predictable in this game. If you're running every down on first down and not being successful, I think that's going to get you in trouble, because you've got a chance, as we've seen in games in the past. If they get behind, this team really doesn't do well. It does much better with a lead where it can kind of sit back and kind of grind away on you. The other part of this, and why I say don't get cocky / predictable, is, you know, we've seen, man, Zach Martin has had an absolutely fantastic year. But if you put that kid one-on-one against Ndamukong Suh all game long and just expect him to win that matchup every single play, man, I worry about that a lot. I think not only that, but, you know, you also have to factor in the dirty play factor there. But, man, that worries me a lot. And that's something where I think the Cowboys need to go into this, you know, with some plans, with some strategy. Because if they just roll it out there saying, you know, well, we're the Cowboys and we do what we do, man, you could really get in trouble with that. We've seen we saw the Broncos last year in the Super Bowl roll out there with, oh, we're just going to do what we do, and it didn't work out for them so well. So that worries me a little. Finally, key number three, isolate versus the cornerbacks. I think this is a game where if they can draw the safeties up, or if Romo can use his veteran ability to pull a safety off with his eyes, and you can really get Dez or Terrence Williams even Cole Beasley, lined up, matched up one-on-one with these corners. These corners are not good. Darius Slay, Rasheen Mathis, they are not good single coverage corners. I think that's a place where the Cowboys could really take advantage, but they've got to get the matchup. Remember that the Lions safeties, those two guys, Quinn and Igbo, lead their team in interceptions, 7 and 6 respectively. So those are guys who can get their hand on the ball. You've got to make sure you give Romo enough time so that he can isolate those wide receivers on the cornerbacks. Finally, when Detroit is on defense, there are three big keys. Key number one, discipline. Don't do anything stupid. No personal foul penalties. Watch for your misdirection plays, so make sure you stay in your lanes, keeping your containment. And don't bite too hard on the play action. You know, you're coming into this game thinking, you know, got to gear up against the run. We've got to stop DeMarco Murray. We're worried about this offensive line. But the second you start to do that, they're going to hit you with Witten over the top. They're going to hit you with Dez over the top. You've got to play discipline. You've got to play the scheme that's in front of you. And don't let the atmosphere or the environment get too big for you. And finally, no personal foul penalties. Just nothing stupid. Ndamukong Suh, I'm looking at you here. Don't step on Romo's leg or ribs or face or whatever. Also, that goes for their offense, too. And Dominic Riola, who's a horrible human being. Key number two, attack Ronald Leary and attack Jeremy Parnell. These are places where I think that the Lions can have a matchup advantage. I think these are the places, the weaknesses in that Dallas offensive line as far as the pass coverage goes. The goal for you is to get Romo's eyes to drop. The second that Romo starts looking at that offensive line, you hit him hard one time, really good. Romo's tough. He's going to hang in there. But if you can get those eyes to drop him, then just for a second, you've got a big advantage. That's something we saw in the Washington game and in the Philly game. I think that's a chance where they have. The other thing I'd like to see the Lions do is some delayed blitzes where the linemen all engage and then you blitz the linebackers up the A-gap or maybe around the outside with a delayed blitz. You got to make sure you get there, though. That's key. Finally, double Dez. Make someone else beat you. It's the same as Calvin Johnson. Make somebody else beat you. Keep that safety over the top of Dez. Don't get cocky. We've seen teams get torched doing that. We saw the Eagles get torched doing that. So make sure you double Dez, make somebody else beat you, and most importantly, you've got to get there with that pressure. So, and to sum it up, for the Lions, for the Cowboys, the key is to keep Romo's face clean. Don't get cocky / predictable, and isolate the cornerbacks. For the Lions on defense, discipline, attack Leary and Parnell, and double Dez Bryant, and that should be a great chess match.
Well, hopefully they're not just playing chess out there on the field. We're playing football, Mr. Bowers. I don't know what he's watching. I mean,
That's expert analysis, though. I enjoyed it.
It is expert analysis, and also expert analysis is the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, Mr. Terrell Austin, whose name is being bannered around as head coaching possibilities. As breaking news, too, also apparently the Raiders want to talk to Scott Linehan, panic Cowboys fans, although hopefully he realizes it's the freaking Raiders.
The job where all coaches go to die except for John Gruden.
I mean, really. Mark Davis. Like, he has a chance to break the stigma of Al Davis if he just fires a coach every year, and then, like, 6 games of the season, he fires his coach. So,
By the way, I want to go ahead and promote the draft narrative scouting guide. Put this in pencil and pen and more pencil and get a tattoo. Amari Cooper will be an Oakland Raider.
Boom. You heard it there here first on the Dallas Cowboys playoff pregame show. I am Dustin Kopening. He is Darren Boyd, and this is Terrell Austin of the Detroit Lions.
Well, it's the one we go into every week thinking that we have to win because as we saw last week, we didn't do a great job of stopping the run, and consequently we didn't play as well as we should have or could have. Credit to them, they did a heck of a job. So this week we have to play better, and everything starts with our front seven. It starts with the guys up front, the linebackers, and you know, whichever safety we happen to have down. So we've got to do a great job up front. They are outstanding. Across the board, really good line, tight ends block. The running back obviously runs like, you know, he's the best in the league this year for a reason. And so we've got our work cut out for us, and I would think that we'll play a little better than we did last week.
And speaking against that game last week, they played the Green Bay Packers and gave up 100-plus yards again that they gave up. Only the second time this year, I believe, the Lions allowed 100 yards from a running back. That front seven, Mr. Boyd, aside from the chance that Ndamukong Suh decides to, like, rip Romo's leg off or break Murray's right hand in a pile or whatever, what's the big thing we should be watching out for with those guys?
They're just dominant up front, of course. Suh with 8.5 sacks. Our beloved from the Draft Narrative Scouting Guide, our beloved Ziggy Ansah with 7 sacks and still is coming on as a second-year player. They just get after you, and they're relentless. And it's one of those games where, and Mr. Bowers may have touched on this earlier,
mm-hmm.
where you've got to be prepared to pound the ball, and you may only get 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yard, but you've got to beat them down and wear them out into the second half, where if you're controlling the game and you're ahead even by a touchdown and you need to grind that clock out, you hopefully have them on their heels a little bit and can break off some big chunk yardage runs.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how effective DeMarco Murray is going to be, considering he's had that hand in flipping the ball over from the right hand to the left hand. You saw a little bit more of it in Washington. He came out after the Colts game and said, yeah, the very first carry I moved the ball to my left hand, but was totally trying to decoy the Colts out into thinking that I could do that in the rest of the game. He was like, it was in the right hand because I can't hold on to it.
Maybe not a good decision to admit weakness in the NFL, but... Well, say against the Detroit with my Dolphins, they tried to run early on and abandoned the run real quick. In fact, their third-string running back, Damian Williams, was the leading rusher at 34 yards over Lamar Miller, and I believe that was a game Daniel Thomas got hurt. But you just got to stay consistent with it. You can't – and in Jason Garrett's mm-hmm. history of coaching, there is a tendency, and you and I both know, he will panic when the run doesn't work and goes, that's it, let's start throwing.
But we haven't done it this year, and maybe that's Scott Linehan versus Jason Garrett. You have not seen the Cowboys this year abandon the run. They've kept at the run. And, boy, there's a clip here that I didn't pull, but it was the offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, talking about the run game, and he said something to the effect of, well, either you can try to establish the run early, or you can go pass heavy and try and establish it in the second half. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Okay, if you're up 21-0 and going into the second half, then maybe you want your running game to work. But
yeah, it's we've seen that approach with the Cowboys here, and it hasn't worked. That gave me a little bit of hope when I heard that coming from the offense coordinator of the Lions there. I what would you be more worried about as a Cowboys fan going into this game? Tony Romo getting bombarded by this defensive line, or this defensive line stuffing DeMarco Murray?
I am more worried about Suh getting to Romo, because Sue's going up against Zach Martin, and Martin, mm-hmm. being a rookie, has never had playoff experience, obviously. Of course, he's been a stud this year, but you're going against a man-child in Suh, and that's what concerns me the most. You've got to be patient. It's kind of like a boxing match where you're going to feel each other out for a while and then eventually land a big shot. Big sports cliche there, but that's what I do.
And boxing.
You've got to just keep pounding at him on the run and be happy if you get 1 or 2 or 3 yards per carry and just try to break him down.
And that's what this team has been able to do offensively. They really have stuck with the run and have waited for those big plays to pop off. And, you know,
you and I are old school football fans where we like the I formation. We like the pounding ground. I want my fullback in there just lighting somebody up and getting 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I hate the spread offenses.
And I'll admit, I got away from that the last few years, watching what the NFL had in large part kind of moved towards, what the college game moved towards. And you lost an appreciation for what old school football run game control, the time of possession, does for you. And the reason why Tony Romo is able to surpass all of those Aikman records, and you say, yeah, but if Aikman was playing in this era, he probably has a lot of those yardage numbers he didn't have in the 90s. And then maybe. Then you see them and you go, oh, yeah, this is. But again, it also reminds me, as hell good Tony Romo has played, how Troy Aikman played in those 90s where, okay, he's only throwing the ball 20 to 25 times a game, but when he's throwing it, he's hitting his receivers. He's not turning the ball over. And it's been a little bit of verification you know, maybe biased a little bit for me being a homosexual.
No,
as I have the number nine jersey on right now.
You're not biased.
But what we've said all along, which you give him a running back, you give him an offensive line. We don't have the defense that's dominant yet, but you give him these things, and lo and behold, he's the number one rated quarterback in the NFL.
34 touchdowns.
Just amazing. This is kind of generic playoff speech, but Mr. Bowers talked about the coaching advantage that could be, you know, many people think leans towards the Lions side and Jim Caldwell. And he talked about just the environment of the playoffs. And I don't know, this just sort of captivated me listening to this as I was pulling audio for the show.
It's the intensity level. It's heightened a little bit more. It's always fast. The game is always fast. It's always tough. It's always gritty. But at the playoffs, let me just tell you something. It's a little bit different. The atmosphere is different. The electricity in the building is different. I mean, that all adds to it. And I think also, you know, it's probably not quite like the old games. You guys played make it take it when you were coming up during the on the basketball courts, right? And what is it? Rise and fly, right? Winner take all, king of the hill, right? And oftentimes you'd find those games to be pretty stirring because of the fact that often if there were a lot of teams waiting, you weren't going to get a chance to get back on that court for a long time. And sometimes you could go a day and only play one game. And, you know, particularly visit some of the popular parks that were good during those times. And I know you weren't hanging out at Rucker Park or anything of that nature, but nevertheless, it's on a bigger scale. But even in that type of environment, you could always see, you know, the true spirit of competition come out.
You know, what I really loved about that little clip there was when he talked about comparing the playoffs to pickup basketball. And I think most of us have played, you know, a pickup basketball game where, you know, you win, you're in and you're out, and you may stay there for, you know, you may be on the side, you may not come back to the next game. And no, I did not ever play at Rucker Park, one because I would get absolutely run. I would never got picked, but you know, we did have these pickup games outside of this apartment community I lived in when I went up to school in North Texas originally in 2000. And the games were like that. I mean, everyone congregated there, and you wanted to win. You had this extra momentum because if you got bounced, you sit down until tomorrow.
Take your ball and go home.
And the Cowboys have taken their ball and gone home for the last 5 years. And you go back to 2007 at 13-3, and whereas Cowboys fans, you saw young Tony Romo, and you saw Terrell Owens, and you saw Marion Barber and Julius Jones. And this attack, I mean, you're sitting here, you know, but at the time, it wasn't a joke because they're 13-3. They're the best team in the NFC. And okay, we had a stinker against the Giants, but we'll be back there. We talked about it earlier in the show. And so you look at this game, and this is what makes me feel confident that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be the better prepared and more ready team today, is that Tony Romo and Jason Witten and Orlando Scandrick, these guys have been there before. They know how hard it is to get to the playoffs and how special an opportunity it is.
I've heard a few of my Cowboy friends talk about, well, Caldwell's been to the Super Bowl, and therefore he's going to out-coach Garrett. I don't see that happening.
Well, it's, you know, he had Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That doesn't
Peyton
hurt.
Manning's a coach of any team he goes on.
I'll give this, though. I think it is remarkable what Jim Caldwell's been able to do in Detroit. You know, it's been a great year for them. This is not a team, again, much like the Cowboys, who was touting that the Detroit Lions would be playing Green Bay in Week 17 for the NFC North title. No one thought that. You thought, the Bears have a chance with Trestman and Cutler. And, of course, we saw that implode. But I do believe that's a testament to Jim Caldwell. But, you know, we'll get into Jason Garrett here as we go inside the numbers and talk about what a difference it has been with Jason Garrett as that walk-around head coach.
Cowboy. Cowboy.
Up my game and I'ma head out west where real women come equipped with scripts and fake find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot.
Oh, yes, another Detroit native kid, Rock. And his hit from, what is this, 1999, 98, Cowboy. And, yeah, that's right, Detroit listeners. I'm playing your boy from Detroit and a song about the Cowboys. Not really the Dallas Cowboys, but, you know, you see where I'm going with this. And hopefully you see where we're going as we're about to go inside the numbers. Mr. Jeff Bowers has broken them down for us, and he has those numbers for you.
As we go inside the numbers, we always start with the rankings. The Cowboys currently rank with the 7th best offense, 16th in passing, 2nd in rushing, just behind the Seattle Seahawks, and 5th in points scored. Meanwhile, the Detroit Lions, 19th in total offense, 12th in passing offense, 28th in rushing offense, and 22nd in points scored. Now we flip the script. On defense, the Cowboys are the 19th ranked total defense by yardage, 26th against the pass, a number that's been going down here pretty steadily, 8th against the run, a number that's been going up, and 15th in points allowed, allowing 22 points a game. Meanwhile, the Lions, 2nd in total defense in the league, 13th in pass defense, 1st in rush defense, allowing only 69.3 yards per game. And keep in mind, that's 10 yards better than the next closest team. And 3rd in points allowed, allowing only 17.6 yards per game. All right, so as we get into the numbers themselves, you definitely will notice a theme here. The Cowboys, in third down percentage, 2nd in the league at 47%. The Lions, 23rd in the league at 39%. Completion percentage, Cowboys 2nd in the league at 68.9%. The Lions, 23rd at 16.4%. Quarterback rating, Cowboys lead the league in quarterback rating with 110.9. The Lions, 21st at 85.9. Total sacks allowed, the Cowboys are tied for 9th. The Lions are 22nd. 20-plus yard runs in the game, during the season, the Cowboys 2nd with 19, the Lions 27th with only 6. So you see that clearly the Cowboys' offense is superior, but a couple of interesting numbers here. One, the Dallas turnover margin, which has gone up exponentially in the last few weeks, a plus 8 over the last 4 games, finishing them the season at a plus 6 overall. Meanwhile, the Lions are a plus 7 on the year, a team that has generated some interceptions. Though they have given the ball away sometimes, very interesting there that those numbers are so close. Also a number very close in time of possession, a stat that Dallas normally dominates. They are first in the league in time of possession. But Detroit is 7th, not with the running attack, but with the passing attack and with that defense. So interesting how that works. As we flip to the defensive numbers, again, the numbers flip the script. The Lions, 9th in the league in third down percentage allowed, Cowboys 27th. Completion percentage, a number that they're both a little bit low on. Hang on, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Sacks, Detroit 8th with 42 sacks, Cowboys 28th with 28 sacks. So here's where it gets interesting. As I mentioned, with interceptions, the Lions are tied for 3rd with 20. Their leading interception guy, Glover Quinn, their safety. Meanwhile, the Cowboys tied for 7th with 18. Now granted, 6 of those by Bruce Carter, maybe a little bit of an anomaly. And more on him in the next segment. But I think it's going to be interesting. And finally, completion percentage allowed. The Lions allowing 20, or the Cowboys allowing are 28th, allowing 68.5. But the Lions are allowing 64.7. They are 24th in the league. So they will allow you to complete some passes. And finally, I think maybe what may be the biggest number this week, the Lions struggles with kicking. The Lions on the season are 25 of 38 on field goals. That is awful. Now, granted, since they've acquired their 3rd kicker on the season, Matt Prater, it has gone up quite a bit. He's 21 of 26 on the season, but he has had 2 blocked. So keep an eye on that as well, as if the Cowboys can dial up anything special in special teams, a blocked field goal always goes a long way towards getting a victory. And that is inside the numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Bowers, for presenting those numbers for us. As we were talking about before we got inside the numbers there, the Jason Garrett as the walk-around head coach, and it's something that Cowboys critics and fans were calling for, and then going into last season, all of a sudden, the coaching play call duties went from Garrett to Bill Callahan, and all of a sudden the media was saying, oh my God, this is horrible. This is Jerry Jones gutting Jason Garrett. Never mind they were saying this should happen like 2 years before, a year before. But that's how it goes. And midway through the season, regardless of what they say, Garrett wrestled those play calling duties back as he was sitting there, and they're saying, well, they're relaying the play calls from Callahan through Garrett to the field. No, they're – okay, so as Bill Callahan's like, yeah, let's go ahead and run them up. And Garrett's like, oh, that's nice, Bill. Okay, we're going to – that's clearly what was going on. But this year it's different with Linehan. And you see Garrett's not walking around with the, you know, the headset and the play sheet in front of him. He's letting those calls be made. And Anthony Spencer talked about the difference the players have seen with Jason Garrett coaching this team this year compared to the past.
With him not having the whole toll of being with the offense the whole time, he's able to see what's going on in the defensive room. He's able to see what's going on in offense. He goes to the special teams meeting. Just being able to be in all three of those phases and be a part of it and not really know how it's been put together and how it's going to be executed at the game, it's easy to bring it together that way.
And the thing that I've noticed, Darren, when I've listened to the audio, especially about midway through the season on, as things were really picking up for the Cowboys as they were narrowing in on this playoff hunt, was the single-minded statements coming from the players that you heard, that they're echoing what you heard from Jason Garrett as far as you know, be your best regardless of the circumstances and playing well in all three phases and finishing the fight. And I wonder, is that something we wouldn't have heard a few years ago if Jason Garrett isn't spending more time in the different meeting rooms between the offensive side and the defensive side and the special teams?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that's a huge change. And also I think the team takes on the perception of the coach, where you're finally seeing that now after a couple of years where Garrett's been entrenched as the head coach. And, you know, look at my Dolphins with Joe Philbin, who's a very, I don't want to say passive, but he's ran off Brandon Marshall and Vontae Davis and guys that wanted to talk back to him. And you see that team is very passive when it comes to when it's nut-cutting time, so to speak. And you see that with Garrett, where now the team has kind of taken on his persona, Barry Church talking a little mess. But
it happens.
I think by being in all three phases of the meetings, like you said, that's allowed him to leave his footprint on the team.
And you've seen this team have a little bit of better attention to detail. And you've also haven't seen the mistakes with time management and, you know, the things that were unfortunately hallmarks of the Jason Garrett era in the first 2 years, got a little bit better last year. And then this year it's really been a smooth running machine. Real quick, one thing to tie up here, I think we were remiss, we didn't mention, is the Ndamukong Suh drama that unfolded at the beginning of the week. But as I know my reaction when I saw that Sue was suspended on Monday, as, you know, you see the video comes out, and go, oh yeah, he's definitely stomping on Aaron Rodgers' leg, and oh, he's suspended. And then Tuesday, all of a sudden, the suspension's overturned, and oh, it's a travesty. And then I saw the video again the other night, and I was like, yeah, maybe my initial reaction was bad. Although I will still say, okay, if it was an accident, if you kind of believe his story that his feet were too cold, why fine him the $70,000 versus the suspension? And then, okay, there's all.
Okay. Well, some of my Cowboy fans are all, oh, this is Jerry Jones' inner workings right there with the league office, where he wanted Sue out of the game and is going to do whatever he can. He sent the video into New York personally himself. He flew it up there and said, look, Goodell, you got to get rid of Sue for this game.
That's more Mark Cuban than Jerry
that
Jones.
That would be Cuban-esque, by the way.
However, the NFL's official explanation is that the suspension was overturned and the fine was given because, while I don't think they believed the Sue story, it's oddly, had he done this a week earlier, he would have been suspended. It was after the 32 game.
Yeah, the
timeline.
Window.
So they throw out the position. It's crazy. Anyway,
with that being
minutia.
Said, I am glad from a football standpoint that he's playing,
that you're seeing full strength.
I want to see his battle against Martin and the vaunted Cowboys offensive line.
Yes, and Travis Frederick talked about the Sue drama and the team's perspective.
I honestly didn't know what was going to happen with the suspension and the appeal. To be honest, it didn't matter either way.
They have a lot of great players on their defense and would have been fine without him, but are also, you know, that much better with him on that team. He's obviously a great player. We got a chance to play him last year a little bit, so we'll go back and watch that and watch the film of what he's done this year as well.
At this point in the year, does it even matter who's across the line from at this point?
I mean, it does. You know, there's a few things, you know, as far as the technique and what you watch and specifically of them. But, you know, really it's about just doing what you do and trying to put your techniques onto what they're doing and seeing how they match up a little bit.
Okay, so, you know, exactly what you would expect to hear from Travis Frederick, who's one of the guys who in that locker room is very insightful and it is a good quote and gives you good information. He's not just feeding the regular line. And so when I hear him say that, I really wasn't paying attention to it. I wasn't focused on it. We weren't worried about what was going to happen with Sue. I tend to believe it a little bit more than coming from, you know, someone else who's like, oh, yeah, man, we don't really worry about it. And I liked his answer there when he said, well, you know, what does it really change your focus? Or, and he said, well, kind of. It does matter more from the standpoint of we're watching technique. We're watching, okay, what's the difference between facing Sue versus who his replacement would be? And it's not from the standpoint of, oh, my God, we've got to face Ndamukong Suh. It's, all right, how is facing him and what he does different from who his replacement's going to be? That makes sense.
I would also like to go on record as an official sports narrative.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Here we go. Suh, future Cowboy, 10-year, okay. $100 million plus a contract.
Boy, I don't know.
Jerry's going to do it.
Well, if he has to choose between him and Adrian Peterson.
He's going to go defense.
Yeah, he go in Ndamukong Suh. I've heard that, and I don't know how I'd feel about that because part of me, when I saw this come out with Suh, I'm like, the Lions have to part ways with him. And it's in my reasoning on that and why, you know, it's a lot like T.O. when he came to the Cowboys initially. I'm like, all right, I'm on board with it. We'll see how this plays out. But you're going into the biggest game after that Green Bay game of the season. You know you have a game after. You have a playoff game. And you put yourself in a situation where, or even if you don't put yourself in the situation, even if you didn't mean, honestly, to step on Aaron Rodgers' leg, the history is there. And to me, with Terrell Owens, that was what was more destructive with the Cowboys. It wasn't that I felt he was in the locker room trying to undermine Tony Romo and Jason Witten and the coaching staff. It's that history was there, and so any little ripple turned into a tidal wave against Owens in the locker room. And with Suh, I think you're going to have the exact same situation.
But he's the perfect player for this defense. You're looking at a young, elite defensive tackle who would come in and dominate in this defense.
He would. He'd dominate.
Or you want a 30-year-old Adrian Peterson who's got a year or two left at best.
I'm not on board with the Peterson thing. I'm really not. One, because you're gambling that he's going to be available, and then also coming back, yes, that, you know, he's not going to hit that running back wall, which everyone hits.
As we stated earlier, Father Time is undefeated.
Yes, and especially at that particular position. Center, another guy who was actually suspended last week and has been a source of controversy for the Lions, Dominic Raiola, he talked about the wild card participant in the playoffs and how it's no more that you can look at and say that these teams don't have a chance.
Right, of course. We've heard, you know, we've seen the stats of the wild card teams winning it, you know, like, I don't know, four of the last six or something like that. I don't know the exact stat, but, you know, just letting us know that, you know, the six seed is just as good as the one seed sometimes. And, you know, I mean, that's the way the cards are dealt, and that's what we earned this year, and that's the way we're going to go about our business.
And so, is this six seed just as good as this Dallas Cowboys three seed, Mr. Boyd? And I think you look at the results on the schedule, and it's hard for me to feel that confident about the Detroit Lions and the way their season has played out versus the way this Dallas Cowboys season has played out.
Yeah, I agree with you. The 6.5 favorite that the Cowboys are is a pretty good line. Cowboy fans should feel very confident about this. I don't see Detroit going on one of those runs like Seattle had a few years ago or some of the other wild card teams. Their secondary doesn't impress me. And I think we will, well, we got to save our prediction, so I can't say yet.
Well, you just look at the way the Cowboys team has played these last few weeks. They go and they put up 44 points on Washington, 42 points on Indianapolis, 38 on Philadelphia, 41 on Chicago. They had that egg versus Philadelphia. We've looked at that. That's an aberration, especially the way they played in December. But then 31 points against the Giants, 31 points against Jacksonville. They've just been just dominating, folks. And then you compare that to the Lions, who went out and scored 20 against the Packers, 20 against the Bears, 16 against the Vikings. They did have 34 against the Buccaneers, 34 against the Bears before, but then 9 points against the Patriots, 6 against the Cardinals, 20 against the Dolphins. If you're looking at a wild card team with a real chance of going on a roll and running it to the Super Bowl, I don't think this Lions team is it.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's, like you said, 6 points against the Cardinals.
I mean, that's a good defense, but still, the Cowboys had 10 points, and they had Brandon Weeden at quarterback. I mean, good God. Of course, that was a defensive touchdown that got them there. But again,
it's minutia. Don't worry about it.
It is. You know, we talked about Golden Tate earlier and his opportunities to break open this game. The Dallas Cowboys have a receiver in Cole Beasley, who has been showing up, and with the attention that I think we would believe Dez Bryant is going to draw, this may be a chance for Cole Beasley to really force his name out in the public and become a, I don't say a star, that's a little bit far, but become more of a common name, maybe like Wes Welker did a few years ago.
And think how far he's come in the last few years from retiring once or twice during training camp. And now
No, that's Rolando McClain.
I thought Beasley retired too.
Yeah, he did. He did say that he was retiring and then came back after talking with the coaches. But he talked about getting those opportunities to become a mainstay in this Cowboys offense.
Really just opportunities, man. And then based on coverage, just telling Tony where to throw the ball and just happened to be my way. There's been a lot of games where I've had no targets and then T-Dub got a bunch of targets. So that's just kind of how this offense goes and how it works. We got a lot of players that can make plays. Different guys are going to get the ball.
And one of the other quotes that he talked about was being able to, you know, make his mark on yards after catch. And when he is I love listening to the description that Gordon Keith on the ticket here locally. If you're listening and you know who Gordon Keith is, probably. But he talks. He's the squirrel who sneaks in through the screen door. And you're trying to catch in the house, and he's just running around like crazy.
That's fitting for his hair, too. I mean, he's the everyman's kind of guy. You love the guy. He gets great yak. I think he's setting himself up for a very nice payday in another year or so.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy who Jerry's going to have to worry about paying. But, it's another reason why, again, I look at this matchup, and I feel more and more confident about the way the Cowboys are matching up against the Lions as – You've got Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant. You got Golden Tate, Terrence Williams / Jason Witten.
Beasley.
You know, and then you've got Beasley and exactly. You don't have that. You're not thinking, and I think there are more fans. I think if you put that towards the average NFL fan, they'd have the same response of scrambling to the iPad to figure out who is the third best receiver for the Detroit Lions, Mr. Boyd, as I bought you some time here. Who is their third leading receiver?
We got to get the stats up here. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. But that's kind of the point that I bring up there.
They're technically their third leading receiver is Mr. Bell.
Joik Bell.
Then they have Theo Riddick. And that's pretty much not a receiver out there that's worth a darn.
And hear about Ebron. Who you know, you hear about his name, but he's not putting up great
25
numbers, apparently.
Catches for 248 yards and one touchdown.
So, again,
that's
weapons.
A suspect first-round pick.
You may go, you know, Johnson versus Dez Bryant, check Johnson, Dez Bryant, you know, very close. But then,
1A and 1B.
But then you go to second, third, fourth down the list, and it seems to be leaning towards the Cowboys. However, one of the things that – this was an interesting take. You know, they talked about Scott Linehan – and him sharing details with the Cowboys staff about, the players that he played. But, again, that's Scott Linehan, who was calling plays for the Lions a year ago. He's no longer calling plays. And Calvin Johnson had an interesting take on that as far as if he would be sharing some of Scott Linehan's secrets with the Lions coaching staff.
No doubt. I mean, I was working with Linehan for 5 years here, so I'm sure they're running some of the same schemes that they did when they're here, and I'm open to whoever needs.
And that was interesting for me. You always hear, well, you know, the coach, he was coaching for them and what secrets they have to share. But wouldn't the Lions have a little bit more of an advantage in knowing what Scott Linehan was calling play-wise a year before for them versus him knowing about the players on the Lions? Isn't that checkmark Lions a little bit?
I agree with you on that. He's got the inner workings of, his playbook is probably still being utilized in Detroit as we speak. They're going to have an in-depth knowledge of what he wants to do. But, of course, we're in week 18, so to speak, so yeah. Everything's on film. There's no trick plays.
No secrets
coming out now at this stage of the game.
It is, and it's ultimately cat-and-mouse games and everything. I doubt that there's going to be something that turns on the fact that, oh, that's what Scott Linehan's calling. I know exactly what they're drawing up here. It's likely not going to play out.
He's never called that play to Cole Beasley before. Unbelievable.
Just interesting.
Only so many routes you can run.
It was a twist on the narrative you hear about, you know, the coach who was coaching Stafford and Johnson, and now he's with the Cowboys. Kind of flipped the script there a little bit. I like that. Oh, by the way, I do have some interesting Dallas Cowboys news. The Cowboys will not be facing Nick Fairley. Anthony Hitchens is active, and Doug Free is inactive.
Well,
so, as we felt the
injury situation, we figured that was coming.
It's what we said earlier. You know, we'll see exactly how impactful Hitchens can be with the high ankle sprain. Again, you just don't have – I mean, you know, there's not that many linebackers are going to put on the field. So we'll see what situations he gets out there for. But the Fairley news, he got into some individual team drills. But then when they tried to get him in – or individual drills – when they tried to get him into the team drills on Friday, he wasn't cleared. And at that point in time, you had an idea he wasn't going to play.
Also, the draft narrative zone, Larry Warford, since I do offensive lines, is inactive, and I had a man crush on him during our draft guide. Big wide body.
And that's definitely a loss for the Lions on that offensive line. Two different mentalities. Well, you've heard the talk of, you know, is this Cowboys team and teams going into the playoffs, you from some of the quotes here, take a different mindset, a different approach. Orlando Scandrick was asked about that. And then I want to juxtapose his comment here with what Tony Romo said this week about the playoff mindset that the Cowboys may have been playing with. But this was Orlando Scandrick when asked about, are the Cowboys peaking at the right time?
I don't believe in peaking. I just believe in doing what we do. I don't believe in rising to occasions. I just believe on continuing to do what we do and to build on what we've started and to just continue to play winning football.
Now, again, some Jason Garrett talk there. I've heard him come out and say, we don't talk about rising to occasions and making, you know, one game bigger than the other. But then Tony Romo talked about the way this team has been playing for the last month.
You know, I know I've said it, but we basically felt like one loss you were out a month ago. You know, at the time it was, you lose and you're done after we lost to Philadelphia at Thanksgiving. So, you know, we've treated it as if you lose one more game and your pretty much season is over. So we know that's obviously the case now. And, you know, we're going to keep that same approach. And like I said, we'll look up here in a month, hopefully, you know, if everything goes the way that we hope. And until then, you just put your head down and go to work and be the best version of yourself.
And this is where I wonder how you balance those two things. Because I hoped that this team going into December looked at it as, we can't lose another game. We have got to be on our best effort, our best behavior throughout this entire month. Because had they lost one of those games, there's a good chance that, you know, things play out completely differently, especially, you know, with the way the Eagles, you know, faced that Washington game. And it's mentality, things change. At the same time, you have Orlando Scandrick saying, well, we don't worry about, you know, we just have our same approach and everything. And you've heard that with Jason Garrett. That more fits the Garrett narrative. And I don't necessarily know who to believe more than the other. Is that a situation where Romo maybe feels that urgency more because of his history, because of the December swoon that he's been so famous for, versus Scandrick? And I just don't know where to go with that.
I think it goes back to one of our previous segments where they're taking on the tone of the coach now.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. We talked a little bit about Matt Stafford. And, again, one of the things that he talks here about one of the keys that he's focusing on for having a good performance this afternoon for the Lions.
I just think eliminate some of the mistakes. You know, I think we play as hard as everybody in the NFL. There's no question about that. There's nothing you can do effort-wise. I mean, you're going to be jazzed up and ready to go. Everybody's going to be playing as hard as they possibly can. It's just making sure that you make the basic plays when you're supposed to and eliminate the mistakes.
As the Indianapolis Colts look to be, well, there's a flag on the play, so this may get called back, but regardless, they're driving into the Bengals with a 10-point lead already here with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. That touchdown
will not count. And another inept Andy Dalton performance.
Well, and so again, that ties in perfectly with this Matt Stafford talk. And going back to, you've got two quarterbacks here who are both talking, well, one's talking about eliminating mistakes, the other's talking about having this heightened, you know, playoff awareness since December. If you're going to give the nod to Matt Stafford or Tony Romo as far as learning from mistakes and being in the spotlight and being on point, I believe you've got to give that nod to Tony Romo just from the fact that he's failed more. I mean, he has. Whether it's deserved or not, the consensus is Tony Romo has failed more. And so I trust him to be a little bit more mindful at 34 years old of where he is
and
than
an individual,
Matt Stafford at 26.
And an individual that's put himself in the spotlight since he got the starting job. And, it's old news, but with the Jessica Simpsons and the other country blonde girl, I'm forgetting her name.
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. And, yeah. You know, dating his high profile. Wow. Excuse me.
A little bit of a slip there.
Well,
Freudian.
Sorry,
okay,
sorry, Jessica Simpson. High profile celebrities. He's wanted this for his entire career, and now he's on the precipice again of making this happen. He has no choice but to execute.
You know, one of the other things that was brought up this week, when you talk about this Cowboys offensive line going up against this vaunted Lions front, and defensive end George Johnson. Again, going much towards the narrative of being mindful and not trying to get overhyped. You talked about the mindset the Lions have going up against this Cowboys offensive line.
Nah, because we know we get too high on it, and at the same time, you know, we can mess up and we can make our mistakes. We don't want to go into the game like that, so we want to be calm, relaxed, and do our job.
And so, which side do you think, this Lions front, a little more experienced than the Cowboys as far as, you know, you've got Sue anchoring it down, whereas, you know, Tyron Smith hasn't been in the league as long. Has he been in the league as long as Sue? Did he come out the same year? It's got to be somewhat close. But anyway, regardless, it would seem to me that the Cowboys have a little less experience on the offensive line than the Lions do on that defensive front. And
yeah, with Frederick and Martin.
Yeah.
Rookie and a second-year player.
Yeah. But just an interesting take again on that Lions defensive line not trying to get too hyped up.
Prediction segment, we do have breaking news from the near-death Mr. Feltman.
Oh, well, we're going
to save that.
We're going to save it. We're going to be there. We're going to get right into it here in just a second. One last clip from the players game, audio heavy on this particular segment. Anthony Spencer, this is a guy who seems to be, Mr. Boyd, you can counter with this if you disagree, but he seems to be a guy who has been making a little bit more of an impact week after week as he's gotten healthier. And he talked about feeling that he's returning back to his old self.
Rehabbing through training camp in the first couple of weeks, and I mean, it just feels like, I don't want to say like the season's just starting for me, but the last couple of weeks I just felt myself really getting into football shape, my instincts and all that stuff really coming back.
So if there is a bright spot with this banged up Cowboys defensive front, is it that Anthony Spencer is rounding into form at just the right moment for this Cowboys team?
You still can't count on him, though. I mean, he was stealing money from the Cowboys for the last couple of years. I believe it does he have a sack this year? I'm checking it out.
I'm not sure if he's got a sack yet, but I know he was getting more pressure the last few weeks. Maybe not a sack, but maybe a few knockdowns or a little bit more quarterback pressure.
Yeah, half a sack this year.
Which
one tackle for loss.
Again, maybe you juxtapose that with, we talked about the Lions, running attack. The last 4 weeks it's been picking up versus almost non-existent, the weeks leading into it. And, hey, maybe Anthony Spencer's able to even buoy that out with a force that is gaining steam going into the postseason versus the previous performance, the regular season leading up to it, not exactly being there.
He's still going against Father Time, who is?
Undefeated. Yes, we are. And, one of these teams will not be undefeated in the playoffs when everything is said and done. Does that make sense? I don't know. Let's get our predictions on the table, Mr. Boyd.
Yeah.
Listen to this, though. This is a great one. I think it's maybe the best song that we've pulled. It's called The Night the Detroit Lions Won the Super Bowl.
No sane person would have taken the bet. Barry Sanders and Matt Millen danced a minuet. Folks from the senior center went out for a midnight stroll the night the Detroit Lions won the Super Bowl.
I love it.
From Ironwood to Temperance, folks took to their feet, running out of their houses, talking to neighbors in the street.
Man,
I
came across this,
right off over pole. The night the
pure
gold.
I heard a stripper overwhelmed, so right off of the pole. Yes, I may have pulled that with you in mind, Mr. Boyd.
Let's talk about some of these numbers, and if anyone is
crazy, our official cowboy watching party, we'll be at the strip club. I'll be home asleep
right
since I work overnight.
Here.
But that's all right.
Let's talk. Let's look at some of these predictions here. The Dallas Cowboys favored earlier in this week by 7. At the moment, the live up-to-date numbers, the Cowboys favored by 6 points in this matchup. Pretty big for a playoff game. ESPN's Vegas insider Dave Tooley picks the Lions. The fact that the Lions have the number one rush defense should contain DeMarco Murray. Matt Stafford looking to Calvin Johnson more lately, who should be motivated by his matchup against Dez Bryant on the big stage. And Cowboys undefeated on the road, but 3-5 against the spread at home, although Romo's back has a lot to say with that. He feels confident in saying that the Lions are going to cover the 7 points, if not pull off the upset overall. However, 67% of the public going with Dallas, and every single one of the ESPN experts and the Pigskin Pick'em Public or Sports Nation, as it's shifted to now as that little bit's over for ESPN, is going with the Cowboys. Over-under for the game, 47.5.
Over.
Oh, over for Mr. Boyd. What is your prediction for today's matchup?
I see a Dallas Cowboy 34, Detroit Lions 24 victory for the mighty Cowboys.
All right. Very well, very well, very well indeed. You had breaking news on the prediction front.
Poor Mr. Near-Death Feltman, who is here in spirit with us, but still
another
managing.
Another infection.
Another.
Unfortunately.
A year.
No, whoa.
Oh, sorry.
HIPAA
laws.
Infection. They left a... Left a utensil down there on one of the surgeries. Andy Dalton gets sacked / fumbles, so he's falling apart. Poor
Choke.
Bengals. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Feltman predicts a lower scoring game. Ooh. And will take the under with the mighty Cowboys 20, Detroit Lions 19. I don't know how he comes up with 19 points, but that's okay. It's Mr. Feltman.
2 touchdowns, a field goal, and a safety. Fair enough. Well, I'm going with the Cowboys on this one.
Say it isn't so.
I'm going to get the homer and everything, but I'm not sure if I'm expecting another, multiple score blowout when it comes to this one, but I do believe in the end the Cowboys are going to cover this. Give me Dallas Cowboys 31, Detroit Lions 24. Mm. And your final score, a Lions touchdown at the end, makes it a little bit closer than it actually was. But as we've come to know and love on the show, Mr. Boyd,
cares about us.
No one cares about what we think. They only care about what one person on this planet thinks about this game and who will win. And that one person is the one, the only Jeff Bowers.
Well, it's prediction time, and I have to say, this is a tough one to pick. I could see this game going either way based on one small little play, a turnover, a missed field goal. Any number of things could shape this. It just comes down. It's too close. I will take the Lions definitely to cover the 6.5, as I think the line's inflated to me. I feel like this game is going to come down very close. I also will take the under in the 48 points. I think it will be a little bit lower scoring with a defensive battle. And that being said, give me a final score of 24-23. The Lions win on a last-second 50-plus-yard field goal by Matt Prater. And I might be the only one in America doing it, but give me the Lions to win this game.
This doesn't disappoint, as he just cannot. He can't bring himself to get off the anti-Cowboys and that anti-Jerry bandwagon. Bowers!
Least song of all time, so we'll cut him some slack.
All right, well, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. We'll looking real quick at yesterday's Pittsburgh Steelers falling in Baltimore. It's the first time that has happened in the postseason. Very impressive there. And then, as many people believed, I certainly expected the Arizona Cardinals with Ryan Lindley. That was...
Who your 9-year-old daughter could throw a better football than.
And that's really what I feared would happen with this Dallas Cowboys team in this season. You know, they get to this amazing start and everything, and then Tony Romo's back explodes. And even beyond that, imagine Tony Romo's back explodes, and then Brandon Weeden looks serviceable, and then his knee implodes, and then you're left with Dustin
Weeden and
Vaughn.
Serviceable should never be said in the same sentence.
Exactly. I understand. I understand completely. But that's my way of saying, Cardinals fans, I feel for you, buddy, as Cam Newton leads the Panthers into next week's matchup against the Seattle Seahawks.
It's been a good run.
Been a good run indeed. It's been a good run here on the Dallas Cowboys pregame, very first pregame playoff show. Hopefully we've got another one next week. Mr. Boyd, and it's been a pleasure sitting here with you discussing things.
Next time I'll break out my jersey that I don't have when we get to the next playoff game.
Hey, man.
In the Packerland, I believe.
Hopefully, if everyone Mr. Jeff Bowers is correct, the Dallas Cowboys winning today would be heading up to the frozen tundra for a
sports narrative road trip on the sports narrative platinum credit card.
You heard it, Mr. Bowers. It's on you. Thanks for listening to the Dallas Cowboys pregame show presented by the Sports Narrative. I don't have our normal closing music because I didn't pull it down on the computer. The live show always throws me off, but we'll leave with a little Eminem.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yep. Thanks for listening, guys. And by the way, you are so inclined, we will be doing a live stream plus hangout on air of the Cowboys game. Myself, Mr. Bowers, and maybe a special guest or two here shortly when we kick to 3:40. So, again, thanks for listening. I'm Dustin Kopening. He's Darren Boyd. He was Jeff Bowers. Everyone stay safe.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody just stack up. Everybody get back. That's why my pennies are bad, because my rhymes on the back tag. It's like I did with addiction. I'm about to be like a magician. Pretty stuck on the pretty shit. Got them still on the fence, whether that's pretty shit. But quick to get in pale when I tell them pretty shit. I'm sick from looking pale. Well, that's my pretty shit. About to go ahead. Start on some pretty shit. Let's bring it back to that vintage. Lord AMC in mixed with Da Vinci and MC Rinse. And I don't mean Sin Pete Prince. Been public enemy since you fought PE for Sin.
Just be there.
This house is doing not get down to turn the volume loud. I couldn't set
way that I'm dressed, ain't it? Khakis pressed, Nike shoes, crispy and fresh lace, so I guess it ain't. That aftershave of cologne that made him just faint. Plus I showed up with a coat, freshened in with paint. With love is a chess game, checkmate. Girl, your body's banging, jump me in, bang, bang, bang. Yes, a revive, I was thinking the same thing. So come get on this kick, rock, bop with the bop, dang, dang. Pass, 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 pass. At least I know that I don't know. Question is, are you both so smart enough to feel stupid? Hope so, now.